2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Alright guys and girls, welcome back to the DFS Army, the MMA Killshot Podcast. We got UFC 232, the rematch we've all been looking forward to for years now. Johnny Bones Jones taking on Alexander Gustafsson II for the light heavyweight championship. Gonna go fight by fight, breaking down all things DraftKings, cash games, GPPs. I'm your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper. With me as always, the lead MMA analyst for DFS Army, Kyle Big Marley. Kyle, how are things going?
Hey man, not bad. I am ready to close this year out with a win. We got a great card here. So looking forward to breaking it down with you.
All right, so for the pay-per-view cards, we do the main card free to everyone, kind of give you an insight if you're not a DFS Army VIP to what we offer on the other side, as well as more in-depth breakdowns, optimizers, all that good stuff. Listen a little bit if you decide you want to be a DFS Army VIP, have access to both of us and our VIP chat as well as Eric Forslund, who's another MMA staffer for DFS Army, along with all the other great tools, Research Station, Optimizer that I mentioned. You can use either one of our promo codes, mine is Sniper, Kyle's is Sleeveless. Both will get you 10% off this month and every month moving forward. And, you know, if you're not a member, look forward to seeing you in there. We've had a lot of good success lately, and personally, I think DFS Army is great in, you know, the bigger sports like NFL and NBA, but where I think we especially kill it is in these niche sports, especially in MMA. Our you know, founder and president, Fantasy Football Geek, is a big MMA guy. He usually does these podcasts, but it's NFL season, so he's not here. So this is, I think, especially a strength for us. And a card like this, where there's a lot of volatility, a lot to dig into, I think there is definitely some edges to be had. So let's go ahead and just jump into things. We're going to start with the first fight on the main card. It is Chad Mendes at 8,700 taking on Alexander Volkanovski at 7,500. Mendes is the favorite. He is a minus 140 favorite. Comeback on Volkanovski plus 130. This fight is an under. Actually, it's an over. Excuse me. Over 2.5 rounds at minus 147. Judges are expecting it to go to the scorecards. Fight goes to decision is minus 130. For me, this two guys who are a little bit similar, you know, both shorter guys, big power, throw large, will look for takedowns. I think Volkanovski, I like his ground and pound a little more, though I do think Mendes has the better wrestling. I have concerns about Mendes's fight IQ, his cardio, and his chin, which we saw him get knocked out cold by Frankie Edgar a few fights ago. I'm a believer in Volkanovski. I'm on the hype train. He scores incredibly well in his DraftKings victories. Now, Mendes is clearly the best opponent he's faced, but in his wins, Volkanovski scores 115, 107, 116, 129, and 100. Chad Mendes, first fight back after his USADA suspension, was against Miles Jury, who was 90 seconds. He looked good, but what did we really learn from that fight? Not a whole lot. I think this is a good test for him. Ultimately, I'm leading Volkanovski in the upset just because, especially in GPPs, because of that high ceiling he has displayed, because the way, you know, the heavy ground and pound and those question marks I have against Mendes, I'm interested in Volkanovski in tournaments. I don't think I really like this fight a ton for cash either way, but in GPPs, I love the ceiling of Volkanovski mixed in with the question marks I have against Mendes and just not liking other fighters in Mendes's range more than him. Volkanovski is my preferred play. And to go towards the line, to touch on that quickly, I actually think this fight, I personally bet the under in this fight. This is not, by the way, a betting podcast. I stick to the DFS advice here, just to give you an idea where my head is at for the fight. I bet the under because I think both these guys are hittable. They both look like overhand right, both have power, and we've seen Mendez be knocked out. I just, under 2.5 rounds at plus money seemed like a good bet to me. So I think this one finishes in is a pretty good GPP fight, but give me Volkanovski. Kyle, how do you have our first fight of the main card?
I can't wait for this fight. This is the best non-title fight on the card. Can't wait to see how it plays out. They are pretty similar. Both have great hands. And if they need to, they can go lean on their wrestling. I think Mendez does have the better wrestling, like you said. But Volkanovski's been gold on DraftKings. Never scores less than 100 points. That's amazing. Mendez has been knocked out 3 times. Volkanovski throws hard. He's going to throw at the heavier pace, too. I just think Mendez probably hits harder and is more likely to get a knockout. Mendez is plus 200 inside the distance. Volkanovski is plus 425. So I like that about Mendez. And this is just a fight I'm going to be targeting a lot. I'm going to have this in more than half of my lineups. And I want both sides. I'll probably be close to 25 to 30% on each guy. But I'm going to go ahead and pick Mendez here. I just can't wait to see how this fight plays out. I'm really looking forward to it. And these are two of the top guys in the division. But I'll pick Mendez by decision, actually.
Are you considering either of these guys for your cash build?
Nah, I don't think I would. I would actually rather have Volkanovski in cash just because the line's kind of moving in his way. And if it gets even better, then maybe I'll think about throwing him in there. But nah, right now, I don't think I would touch this in cash.
There are a lot of good odds value spots on this card. One we're going to touch on in a second. And this one doesn't feel safe in terms of both guys probably have pretty low floors. Another reason why I like the under in this fight. But let's move on. We have Alir Latifi, 8,900, taking on Corey Anderson at 7,300. Latifi's the favorite, minus 135. Here's some odds value. Corey Anderson, plus 125. We are looking at another over 2.5 rounds, minus 147. Also minus 130 to go to the scorecards. Kyle, why don't you take the breakdown for this one?
So, yeah, this one is going to come down to if Anderson can get takedowns or not. I mean, he gets a ton of takedowns. I think he has like 20 takedowns in his last 2 fights. But Latifi has 100% takedown defense, and he's going to be much shorter here. He's super powerful, so that's going to help him be able to stuff these takedowns. And if he can stuff takedowns and this fight takes place on the feet, I think the most likely outcome is Latifi knocking Anderson out. Anderson does have a real suspect chin. And Latifi throws heavy power. So if he connects clean just one time, it could be over. So Anderson really has a floor of like zero in my eyes. But if Latifi doesn't get the knockout, I think Anderson wins. I think maybe on the feet, he does throw at the higher volume. So if he can keep this at distance and just avoid that big power shot, then he could win a striking fight. It's just, man, it's really hard to trust his chin. And I do think he's going to be able to get a couple takedowns in this match. I just am not sure if he's going to be able to hold him there. And I don't see him getting the finish. So, it's Latifi inside the distance or Anderson decision. And I'm going to go ahead and lean with a knockout from Latifi.
See, I agree with the analysis and I'm going to go the other way on this one. There's a lot of really close fights on this card, volatile ones. I'm going to lean towards Corey Anderson. I think his wrestling is that good. Alir Latifi is small and wide, and it'll be hard for Corey Anderson to get a takedown. But Alir Latifi has, you know, he beat Ovin St. Preux, he beat Tyson Pedro, and Jean Valente. OSP is a legit win. OSP did knock out Corey Anderson, but Corey Anderson won the first 2.5 rounds of that fight before he got knocked out. Ultimately, styles make fights, and for DraftKings, I just want to target grapplers, especially guys who are as relentless as Corey Anderson. I think he's smart enough to know he really can't take a lot of damage. Took down Glover Teixeira 7 times, took down Patrick Cummings 12 times. Glover Teixeira isn't that easy to get to the ground. The big, strong dude. Latifi is strong. It's just the height that I'm worried about. Ultimately, Anderson has you know, Patrick Cummins, who he took down 12 times, is a Division I wrestler himself. I think Anderson gets them at 7,300 in this odds value. I'm willing to take shots on Corey Anderson. Everyone seems to like Latifi, which I think is interesting in terms of just that build and how is Anderson going to get takedowns. So now I can get a grappler. And everybody knows the grappler, but I could get him under-owned, or I can get some leverage in the field. I'm definitely interested there, especially in GPPs, just because we have 2 5-round fights in this card. I think this is I think Anderson, if you're not going to go towards the stack, I think Anderson, that odds value puts him in play for cash games. So I'll have exposure to Anderson in tournaments for sure, just with the grappling upside and the live dog at 7,300. Well, I am going to pick to win this fight. You have to look at Ilir Latifi because of the chin issues of Anderson. I have a couple other high price fighters that I want to get in instead. So I'll have some Ilir Latifi. I think I'll be under the field, and it's more just Anderson is one of the dogs I want to target. So that just, it forces your exposure down. If you want to go heavier on Latifi and you don't believe, you know, you believe Anderson's chin is totally shot, I can't fault that. It makes sense to me. It's just my process is to pick out the dogs they want to target, and Anderson falls in that range, and I'm kind of building around there. So that's how my builds are going. But I do like this fight for GPPs. This is a fight I'm going to have a ton of in GPPs. This will be in probably over half my lineups, whereas you like the last fight, which I have plenty of exposure to as well. This main card is a good one. Although for DraftKings, I'm not sure this next one falls in that category. It is Michael Chiesa at 9,000, taking on Carlos Condit at 7,200. Michael Chiesa is the favorite, -145. Carlos Condit, the natural-born killer, the comeback on him is +135. Another over 2.5 rounds, -112. We are looking at it does not go to decision, though, at -135, so Vegas, by those numbers, expecting a late finish. Chiesa, I have a hard time with these sick jitsu guys just because I hate that camp. I admittedly hate that camp. Don't believe in checking leg kicks. Don't believe if you fall to a body kick, you're weak. I'm pretty sure Chiesa still trains out of there. I'm not 100% on that, but I always just think of him as a sick jitsu guy. Coming off of losses to Anthony Pettis, Kevin Lee, he moves up to make his welterweight debut in this one. Looked pretty good on the scales. He's not a great wrestler, but he finds ways to get the fight to the ground, and he has a nasty rear naked choke that we've seen a bunch of times. Carlos Condit can be taken down. We've seen that time and time again. He is on a 4-fight losing streak, and it's 2018 Carlos Condit. As great as he is his head still under? How much money has he made? You know, has the game passed him by? You have all those questions. What's interesting, though, is this fight goes to the ground. Condit has a very active guard. I think he's sneaky off his back. I think he's live, but I think he doesn't strike at a high pace, you know, outside of the Robbie Lawler fight, which, you know, that was just a crazy war and more of a product of Robbie Lawler, quite honestly. And this is not the fight Chiesa puts on. They're going to grapple. I expected to be up against the cage, go to the ground. Chiesa look for submissions, control, and I think Chiesa wins a decision that way. And that really hurts the DraftKings value for both of these guys. I think the better play, though, is Chiesa if you really believe Condit is shot and Chiesa finds a sub. Ultimately, I think it goes to decision, and just the way I'm picturing this fight, I don't think it's a good fight to target for DraftKings. And what's interesting is I think in a win, Chiesa has a low floor, like I mentioned, and he's in the chalk build. We're going to save kind of – I want to talk about stacking and what I think the chalk build is going to be on the VIP side, so some incentive to become a DFS Army VIP. Chiesa does fall into that build, and it's really interesting, and it's I want to get your opinion on that one. I think he has a deceptively low floor even in a win, but he is my pick to win the fight. GPPs, I'm honestly not looking at either one of these guys, really. Maybe a little bit of Michael Chiesa, and that's really it. How about for you in this fight?
I am going to have actually every one of these fighters on the main card in my GPP lineups. I'm going to be targeting both sides of all these fights, including this one. I think this is just a clear Chiesa is going to need to get this fight to the ground, and he needs to get Condit's back. And that's how he gets a win. He gets a rear naked choke, just like all his submission wins, pretty much. And Condit is not great at stopping takedowns, and he can be choked out. So, clear path to victory for Chiesa. But, I mean, we're looking at like 95 points, 97 points, something like that. At most, I feel like. I don't even think he has 100 points. Plus upside. So I don't love him in this spot, but he could get 10x fairly easily. If he cannot get the takedown, Condit's going to pick him apart on the feet, and he could finish him. I think he could kick him to the body, knee him to the body, make him fall over that way, finish him with a TKO. When Chiesa curls up from that, I think he could get a submission from the bottom. I think he could cut Chiesa open, maybe get a doctor's stoppage. So he has passed to victory as well, and if he wins, he's for sure going to get 10x. So I'm going to have some Condit as well, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick Condit to win. Not like super confident, but I just think Chiesa is a bit overrated, and I think he's a little bit more concerned with suing Conor McGregor than he is trying to contend for a title at 170. So hopefully MBK shows up, the old MBK, and I would love to see him get a win here.
A lot of nostalgia on this card that really could go pretty poorly. Let's move on to the co-main event. It is Amanda Nunes, the bantamweight champion at 7,000, taking on the featherweight champion Chris Cyborg at 9,200. Cyborg's the favorite. Nunes trying to become the first female double champ. Cyborg is the big favorite, -240. Comeback on Nunes, +220. Fight does not go to decision, -170. -167 over 2.5 rounds. Just Vegas looking at a later round stoppage here. Kyle, why don't you kick us off for this one?
Yeah, this is basically an all-in fight. This is the best woman's fight of all time. Whoever wins is the best woman's fighter on the planet, in my opinion. And it'd be really hard to argue, really. Cyborg is just a beast. She's going to be pushing the pressure. If she wins, she's going to score highly. And same with Nunes, man. If she wins, there's no way she's not 10x in her value, and she's gonna be on the winning lineup if she wins. Cyborg's never been hit by anyone as hard as Nunes is gonna hit her. And I think Nunes might be looking for some takedowns here. I think she's definitely live. I'm actually gonna go out on a limb and pick her to win as well. But again, it's not a confident one. It's just, I think, the line's a little bit more wide, and I love seeing Nunes at $7,000 on DraftKings. Because I do think I've been talking her up for years. I think I've said for the past 3 or 4 years that if anyone was going to beat Ronda, it was Cyborg or Nunes. And if anyone was going to beat Cyborg, it's going to be Nunes. So I just got to stick with it. She's won me a lot of money. So I'm going to pick her again here. But if this was a pick'em fight and they're both like 8,100, then I would have to go with Cyborg. So man, it's going to be such a good fight. I can't wait for it. And I'm excited to see what Nunes has for her. I think it's like a 50-50 fight, though. If you're making 10 lineups, I'd probably do 5 and 5. But I would be going all in on this fight with all 10 of those lineups. So probably my favorite fight on the card to target, if not the main event. But love it. Let's go, Nunes.
I think we're going to disagree later, and I can't believe this is the spot where we don't. But I am also in the minority with you picking Amanda Nunes. So with the majority on the podcast, it's unanimous. But in general, we are definitely in the minority. I think Nunes is better on the ground. That's actually where I see her advantage in this fight. She's a black belt. Cyborg's a brown belt. The size is the issue. Cyborg, obviously, much bigger. And I don't think Cyborg has ever really been backed up. And I think Nunes is going to try and back Cyborg up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when these two meet in the middle. Cyborg has made a career out of beating up cans. And usually I hold that against someone. I really can't in Cyborg's case because A, no one wants to fight her. B, no one's big enough to fight her. She's just, you know, she's a freak specimen at 145. There are some 145ers, but she's clearly, you know, well and above everyone else. Her best competition was Holly Holm. While Holly Holm beat her 48-47, Cyborg beat Holly Holm, clearly 48-47. Holly Holm also, to me, if I remember right, decisively took rounds one and two and kind of ran out of steam with that counter-striking strategy. It was a close fight, whereas Nunes is a whole different stylistic matchup, but this is clearly the best fighter that Cyborg has ever fought. With the advantage on the ground, 7,000 from Nunes, same thing, love this fight to target, gonna have both sides while I'm picking Nunes. I don't know if I'll be underweight to Cyborg. I'll probably be about field weight, which, you know, we're pretty much in total agreement on this fight, which is interesting because I think we're also in the minority with it. So that being said, Amanda Nunes, not super confident, but I do think she becomes the first female double champ. All right, let's go to the main event. John Bones Jones, 9,100, taking on Alexander Gustafsson. Jones, the favorite, minus 280. Gustafsson, the dog. The comeback is plus 255. We are at 4.5 rounds for the over-under. Pretty much a pick'em. Fight does not go to decision. Is the small favorite at minus 120. I have to get my biases out there. I despise John Jones. I've been on this train for years. I think more and more people are obviously joining over. It's the hip thing to do now. Him and Dana have looked awful for the better part of the week with all of this, all of these shenanigans. And, really, that being said, I'm still picking him to win. I believe he was in his heyday party when he fought Gustafsson the first time. It really shouldn't. Jones should finish Gustafsson in my mind. I will have just, he's basically more explosive. Whoever pushes forward is going to win the battle here. I think the only way John Jones loses is through a flash KO with, you know, they're 205 pounders. Anything could happen at that weight. I don't think Jones or Gustafsson is going to be able to outbox Jones as frequently as he did in the first fight. I actually think John Jones may look for takedowns, use more on pressure. Gustafsson ate a lot of head kicks in the first fight. I don't think it'll be as close as the first time. And that's sad to me because I just, you know, dislike John Jones very, very openly. So I like this fight to target, obviously. We'll talk about stacking on the other side. John Jones, I'm going to have a ton of exposure to. He's going to be very chalky, but I think it's chalk you have to eat because he's only 9,100. He's not 95, 9,600. Give me John Jones here, and it's a very weird spot I think a lot of us are in where, you know, should be betting with your head. Your head says John Jones, but my heart says, man, I would love to see Gustafsson win. But that would cost me a little bit of money. So for that reason, I'm not going to be fading Gustafsson. I need to have some skin in the game just because I'm rooting for him. So it's a weird wallet versus heart kind of game you're playing. I think head-wise, probably wouldn't play much Gustafsson at all. But there's my breakdown for it. Give me John Jones by finish. Kyle?
Yeah, I love me some John Jones, because I love rooting for once-in-a-lifetime talent.
No argument there, by the way.
I'm not trying to be his friend, you know, so I don't really care.
I get it.
I don't care about, like, what drugs he's on or nothing, really. I would love for steroids to be back in MMA. I miss the old days when all these guys were juiced out of their minds, and just taking shot after shot and giving it back. I miss the old days, to tell you the truth. So if they brought steroids back, I would be totally okay with it, but I'm not gonna even say John Jones is or not cheating. I mean, I have a feeling most fighters in the UFC probably are cheating. They're probably doing something. John Jones has just been popped for it, so he's got his haters. It makes me like him even more, really. But I think he's the greatest fighter of all time, best fighter I've ever seen in my life, and I think the best we will see for a long time. So we got the best man and the best woman fighting on this card, and that's pretty cool. So this one's different for me. It is an all-in fight like the last one, but I'm going to be a lot higher as close to John Jones than I am on Gustafsson. I would say it's going to be closer to, like, if I'm making 10 lineups, it would be like 7 lineups with John Jones and maybe 3 Gustafson, if not 8-2, something like that. But I expect John Jones to go out there and prove that he is the best fighter on the planet. And I could see him getting a finish as well. He scored 102 points in their first fight when he was in the prime of his party career. Now he's got his life together. He looks good. And hopefully he's still in the prime of his fighting career. And hopefully he's got it for a long time, because I love watching this guy fight. And I'd be pretty sad if he lost and that greatness kind of went away with that. But Gustafson is the second best in the division if DC's out of it. So, God, I love this fight. Gustafson has the best chance of beating John Jones at 205 pounds. I don't think anybody else even stands a chance. But John Jones is the best, and he's going to prove it. He's going to win. I'm going to say fourth round TKO.
The only thing I disagree with there is I think the guy with the, and it's sad, the guy with the best chance to beat him at 205, he's already beaten twice.
See, I disagree. I think he beats him 8-9 times out of 10, but with Gustafson, I think he's got a little bit better shot. He just matches up better with that whole, with the height and strength. His takedown defense is solid, and I think that throws John Jones off with him being the same size. He's not used to people being the same size as him, and DC's just, he's too short, and his wrestling's not going to work against John Jones like it is everybody else. So I think John Jones beats Cormier every time they fight. If they fight again, I'll tell you right now, I'll be betting John Jones in that fight if it happens. I just don't see it happening.
Hopefully we get that fight at heavyweight, but let's wrap up the free portion of this podcast, guys. We're going to talk about our thoughts on stacking the main and co-main event. So VIPs, you're used to hearing that. Don't worry, we will get to it on the other side here in a second. As I said in the open, you got 2 promo codes, Sniper, Sleeveless, either one. You use it, get 10% off. You'll also, you know, access to us in VIP chat for any specific questions. Research Station with all kinds of stats, good stuff in there. Domination Station for your lineup optimizer. I think that's enough selling of it. Hopefully, if you're not a member, we see you soon. And for those of you who are, just give us a few seconds here and we will jump into the rest of UFC 232. If this is the end for you, good luck in your contest. Happy New Year. And you're not going to join us, best of luck. But, you know, everyone else is going to have an edge up on you. So Happy New Year, VIPs. We'll see you in a second.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.